When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here with Deuce Mason, who is not live from the Deuce and Mo podcast studio. He's joining us from his car because...
Which is a studio.
As he said, there was jackhammering going on outside
That's just what it is.
Look, I'm trying to convey to the radio audience...
We don't really throw flags on guests. Do we want to set that precedent?
He said it.
Wow.
It's true.
Wow. Will you grow up, pal?
Play on.
This is why Deuce is sick of you. This is why Deuce says you're killing me right now. First of all, welcome back. We're thrilled that you're here with us. Your podcast partner is out doing some great work in Orlando, so she's going to obviously miss our conversation and miss the next couple of Kings games, but you're gonna hold everything down for the pod. And you said Kenny is killing you, so let's start with it because that's my life, pal.
Yeah, Kenny, yes, you keep talking about the offense. Lean into the offense. That's what they're doing. They're 4-3 since Monk entered the starting lineup, which was the right move. Mm-hmm. Number one in offense, 3 in scoring, 9th in 3-point percentage, 3rd in assists, fewest turnovers per game. It's not the offense. It's like we like get into this mode where we're like, oh man, why aren't they doing this? Oh, closing games. It's the same issues we all know. They don't have enough size. And when you have a game where Keegan doesn't play and Trey doesn't play and Herter, all those guys are, that's like the size you have on the team. Everyone's 6'7" and above. And then you've got people like DeMar DeRozan trying to check Aaron Gordon or Doug McDermott on Porter. They can't get stops. And then last game, you know, they're ball watching like crazy, getting backdoored left and right, pause. And then 76 points in the paint. It's not the offense. It's like they need to clean up defensively, one. Two, they just need more size. It's all the stuff we've been talking about for like 2+ years.
Yeah. Before you respond, Casey, please, before you respond, because Deuce needs this information too. From Sean Cunningham, according to sources, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, Kevin Herter will all be available to play tonight.
Good.
When the Kings host the Lakers. However, Trey Lyles did experience some soreness this morning. He will get treatment prior to the game and is now listed as questionable. There was a lot of positive momentum with Trey Lyles in recent days. As just yesterday, he talked about being ready to return to action from his calf strain. Kings downgrading him to questionable is out in abundance of caution, I'm told. Again, that's courtesy of our friend Sean Cunningham at Fox 40. I thought that was important enough to pass along. Go ahead, Casey.
Absolutely. Look, like I always say, it's a number of different things, right? It's not one simple thing. But I'm gonna ask you right now. This is all I'm saying. What is the best? This is who it is. You don't know if anybody's going to trade with you. You don't know if anything going to happen. What is the best course of action for this team to win?
This is what they're doing, and this is what it's going to look like. They're going to have moments where they have awesome scoring outputs, but in a tight game, what's a good team going to do? Denver went Jokic, Murray pick and roll, and they went 7-of-7, 21 points in the final 3:55. You can't get one or two stops. One or two stops to win the game.
Real quick, to be fair to the conversation, and I think people miss this when we talk about this specific game. Denver didn't stop nobody. Denver didn't stop. They left open a wide open DeMar DeRozan, and he fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
Denver didn't stop nobody. They made one more shot than the other.
Their own issues. No, and I'm with you. Denver has their own issues. I'm just talking about Sacramento's perspective, though. Is like they have to find a way to get. So there's too many stretches where it's like that first quarter. It was too easy. They got inside the paint at will, second chance opportunities, backdoor layups, and it's like these things are actually correctable with some of the guys on the roster too. Like, you should not be ball watching the entire game, like just staring at Jokic and allowing your man to get behind you and have an easy score at the rim. Like, that, those are things that, if that happens once or twice, sure, but you got to be locked in. So I think there are details that they can just clean up internally that will help. But I think long term, like, sure, they can score and it's fun. I love the changes they've made with Monk in the lineup and how he's been playing and what that's done for everybody. It's also helped out now that, like, the last 5-6 games that Murray and Herter are closer to 40% from three. So I think you're seeing like the best version. Now they got to figure out a way to clean up those details. And I don't think it's there yet.
Real quick, mm-hmm. Just fundamentally, yes, defense needs to be better. It just needs to be better in general with this team. But once again, when I say lean into the offense, I'm talking about what you have. Like, we can't keep wishing upon a star for some random person that's going to come here and change everything. You have what you have. What is the best course of, if you were to coach the personnel you have, what is the best course of action that you can get the most out of the personnel you have? And that's all I'm saying.
That's what they're doing. I mean, like I said, since Monk's been in the lineup, they're scoring 126 a game.
They're above 500.
Their offense is clicking right now. It's can they? And the other thing too, I would say, is the one area in closing with the offense I want to get better is I felt like in that Denver game, they missed some good looks, but also like we can't have a quarter where Monk only gets two shots. He's too important, and I feel like. I understand DeMar and Fox are the clutch guys and the closers. That's fine, but it doesn't have to be force-fed to them either. Just run your offense. Let's get a good look. I know Malik Monk with the ball in his hands can create for others. I know he can create an awesome ISO situation for DeMar DeRozan. I know he can get Fox a catch-and-shoot opportunity. We talk about the Jokic-Murray pick-and-roll being lethal. I think the Sabonis Monk pick and roll is lethal, and there's so much that you can get out of that. So do more of that down the stretch games too. Mm-hmm.
So Deuce, you are of the belief that this roster is good enough to get where they want to go. They just need to fine tune some things internally.
No, I mean, I think this is no, I don't. I think they have to make a move.
Okay.
I don't think it has to be like a massive swing for a star or anything like that. I mean, I think they could add – Dorian Finney-Smith would help this team dramatically. Like, he would come in. And plus, he has a toughness. He's a dog. Like, he talks. Like, I love that type of personality. People talk about Cam Johnson. I think it's just going to be too expensive. You know, I'm like, okay. I've heard the Keegan conversation, too. I just don't see how trading Keegan for a Jeremy Grant or a Cam Johnson makes sense. Like, to me, I need Keegan on this team and add – with Keegan, not give up Keegan. I think he has been really good defensively, although, you know, there's been some games throughout this stretch where I don't think he's looked good. I don't know how much that is because of his foot. But I think overall he has meant a lot to this team defensively and rebounding. And getting another wing would be nice because you don't have to play this guy 40 minutes a night. Like, got to take some pressure off of him and Sabonis. They just need more size.
They do. I think they need to get where they want to go and the expectations that they have for themselves and that a lot of us had for them, yeah, they probably do need some help. I don't think they need any help to be better than what they are right now. Like, they have enough to be 500. They don't need to go get somebody else out there. And once again, if they need to go get somebody else to be 500, then what were we talking about for months about this team? Like, why were we excited? Mm-hmm. Why were we hyped up? Because the roster was the roster at that point, and when everybody was like, no, this team, oh, man, we're excited. We got DeRozan. Like, and then what are we upset for? because we should have known at that point they ain't got enough to be a 500 team. Like anybody say yeah. that? Are they enough to? Do they have enough to be a 500 team? Nobody was saying that 2 months ago.
No, you're right on that. And I mean, yeah, they have enough to do that. But I'm talking about like raising expectations a little bit. I know it's like, hey, just get back to the playoffs again. That's a great goal. Yeah, but I think everybody wants more than that. You didn't get DeMar DeRozan just to get back to the first round of playoffs. I think you have to continue to tinker. And yeah, I was excited about DeRozan too. I was excited what he could bring. I still love what he has brought to the team. But I think we all acknowledge that they still have the same weaknesses. Like, that's the problem. Is like, we were all going, okay, is there anything else? Is there going to be another wing? Like, what's going to happen? And yeah, this team should be good enough. We saw the record with 3-9 in games decided by 5 points or less. Like, there's plenty of swing games in there. I don't think the Monk injury early on helped things. He missed 7 games. DeRozan misses some games. This stretch is just important, right? Like, this stretch until they leave for Boston. They don't go outside California until they play Boston on January 10th. Mm. There's a lot of games in Sacramento, some in L.A., one in San Francisco. You have to take advantage of this opportunity ahead and start. Like, you got to win probably the next 3 games, right? Mm-hmm. You got the Lakers twice and the Pacers. You got to win all 3 of these games and start winning at home, because that's the other thing. It's like, this home record's a joke. Yeah, you're not a playoff team if you're below 500 at home.
No, you're definitely not. And when you're a game below 500, when you're 2 games below 500 at home, it has a lot of people asking questions. And one of them is about De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox on the Draymond Green show. Mike Brown seemingly talking to De'Aaron Fox directly through you guys at his media scrum yesterday. What did you make of what Mike had to say? And do you think he has a point about De'Aaron Fox? Does De'Aaron need to find that next gear, so to speak?
Yeah. I mean, if De'Aaron, first of all, I love what Mike said, and Mike's been pretty consistent about challenging De'Aaron since he got here. I think Mike Brown has helped elevate De'Aaron to another level. I think he's gotten more out of him, maybe realized what Fox is capable of. And I loved what he said, because some of the issues in that Denver game, it's like you're looking at De'Aaron a little bit like, hey, man, when you come out and set the tone defensively, when you're like getting after guys and you're talking and you're chippy, everybody's thriving off that. The people in the arena, your teammates, you're getting stops, you're getting out and running, you're playing your best basketball. But when you're getting carved up, someone's got to like take responsibility. And if you want to be like elite in this game, then you got to do it consistently. I mean, I think he's a beyond talented player, but to be a superstar in this league, you have to do it literally 95% of the nights you play. And I think there are times we watch and go, man, if De'Aaron could have just turned it on a little earlier. And it's not to say that that's an easy thing to do, right? That's what makes the superstar special, is because they have the ability to fight through the mental fatigue, the physical, wear and tear when you're playing. And there's so much pressure on Fox to push the pace, get to the basket, hit shots, play defense. But that's what it's about. Like, if you want to reach that greatness. So I like that Mike challenged him, and I guarantee you he said it probably a little more in his face, like when they were one-on-one with each other. And I expect De'Aaron to show up in a big way tonight. And as far as what De'Aaron said on Draymond saying,
hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, it's nothing new, and it doesn't surprise me. I think he would love to get a Supermax. That would be awesome.
But I would, too.
I also think, that's a lot of money, right? And so I knew he wasn't going to sign the extension. That would be a dumb business decision. And then for him, yeah, he's at the phase of his career, 27, 28? His birthday's tomorrow. Like, he's thinking long-term, going, okay, I want to win. Am I going to be able to do it here? Are they going to put enough around me? I watched them draft Davion Mitchell and Tyrese Halliburton when I was here. I heard my names in trade rumors. I had coaching change after coaching change. we're finally in a good spot, but like, can we accelerate this a little bit? Mm-hmm. And I it's definitely, you know, it's concerning, like, long term, because I want Fox to be here, but I think he can control what his play on the court, and then hopefully the front office can, you know, add to and tinker with this lineup and this team to take them to another level.
Here's the frustrating part. If I'm De'Aaron Fox a little bit, and then we spoke for like an hour. What are you drinking over there? What is that? Coffee? Iced coffee? What is that?
A little espresso.
Oh, man. I see. Look, come on, man. Dudes ain't playing, man.
Anytime you get a drink that's layered with multiple colors, that's pretty fire. That's pretty fire right there.
Yeah, I see him, man. I see him champagneing and campaigning with his espresso. That's what he's doing. But so, you know, we spent like an hour talking about Fox, you know, being this leader and this is the way of the land, and heavy is the head that wears the crown, all this other stuff. But the things that we talk about, and even Mike Brown talk about, like, hey, like, our team is struggling defensively. Like, you got to be the one that anchors all this. And if I'm De'Aaron Fox, I'm like, I get you, coach. But people that are looked at as being higher than me in the pantheon of current NBA players, your Dame Lillards, Lucas, Jalen Brunson, Ja Morant, I promise you, none of their coaches are asking them to do that. And everything is fine. Ja don't play. No, God don't play. No defense. Mm-hmm. None. And they are able to just float around on offense and be aggressive and do all this other stuff and then hide and guard the weakest shooter in the corner. And it's like, yeah. Man, come on, man. Like, I'm listening. I hear you, coach. I'm trying to take on all the responsibility I can. But in your opinion, Deuce, why do those guys seem to get a pass for that and De'Aaron's asked to do more?
I mean, it's a roster construction issue. Like Dame, well, he's got Giannis and Lopez behind him, right? You can get away with some stuff. They have some more length, you know. Same with Memphis. They've got wings. They've got size that maybe you can get away with that. This team doesn't have that. They don't have Sabonis. Love the guy. He plays hard. I loved how he played against Jokic the other night. He's not blocking shots. He's got like a 6'10 wingspan. His arms are not long at all. And then your wing situation, as we talked about, Keegan Murray is like your wing, right? Like, that's it. So the margin of error for this team is so slim. And I think that's why we're having all these conversations. Oh, can Fox do this? Can this do this? What about the offense late in game? Oh, lean into this offense or defense, whatever. Is because it's just how the roster is like constructed. And so, yeah, he's asked to do a lot, but I think he's capable of it. I still think he's an underrated player. And I know I've heard you say this before, Kenny, like I do agree with you. I think he's probably the best two-way point guard in the league, right? With the amount of pressure, or one of the best when it comes to his ability to go get buckets, to put pressure on the defense, and then also defend on the other end and defend multiple positions. Like you said, they're not hiding him, right? He is defending some of the best guys. But yeah, it's kind of unfortunate for him. I mean, he probably needs some help to take some pressure off of him too, so he's not relied upon to do so much. Because I think he gets a lot of the blame sometimes. Like all of a sudden he'll be inefficient for a stretch. It's like, oh, he's coasting. It's like, no, he's just missing shots and he's still competing defensively, but he's asked to do a ton. We've said the same thing about Keegan Murray, right? Like Keegan this year, for the most part, hasn't been able to knock down shots consistently. But he's being asked to play 40 minutes a night, defend multiple positions, crash. Oh, and we need you to hit open shots. Sure, it'd be nice if you had another wing so the guy could play, like, I don't know, 33, 34 minutes a night, and maybe he doesn't have to take on the responsibility of guarding some of the best guys in the league.
Are you buying into the Twitter conversation about De'Aaron is starting to work his way out of Sacramento?
No. I think...
Because this is your boy. He's been to your house. Like, the whole family
that is
has
his
been
boy.
Over.
That
we
is
can't,
his boy. Yeah,
we,
yeah, yeah.
How many times have you watched Poppy? Have you babysat Poppy?
Did she call you Uncle Deuce?
Uncle.
All I know is after we did that podcast and he retweeted it, he's like, just friends hanging out. I'm like, friends? I don't even have your number. I'm like, okay, cool. If you want to call me your friend. I think he's keeping his options open. Why would Why would he sign the extension now? Of course, he's...
It makes zero financial sense to sign the extension before next year.
Right. And so, like, some of the comments he made to Draymond, I mean, he made those same comments to Sam Amick of The Athletic, like, before the season, too. I mean, how many times do you have the opportunity to potentially be a free agent? You want to kind of control your destiny a little bit. And so if he wants to put a little pressure on them, good. Yeah, and there's also pressure on him to perform, too, because at this point, he's not going to be a supermax guy. Like, the team's not winning enough. And, you know, if he's inconsistent, it's just not – you're not going to be an all-NBA guy. Yeah.
Some of the other discourse going on with this team that I don't know. I don't subscribe to, and I'm kind of frustrated by, but is this notion that DeMar DeRozan is kind of like the problem. You know, there's the ball sticking to him and the offense, and he doesn't do much. Maybe we should think about bringing him off the bench. I mean, do you subscribe to any of that? You know, I think DeMar has been perfectly fine to start the season, but do you think any of that is valid?
No, I don't get why you would bring him off the bench. I think early in the season, it definitely, like, it felt clunky at times. Like, he wasn't, like, adapting to the style of play, you know, and, like, the Kings weren't used to slowing it down and playing ISO ball with him. But I think they figured it out. I think he's playing with better pace. I think they're picking the spots to set him up in isolation situations as opposed to him bringing up the ball. I think that's the other benefit with Monk in the starting lineup is let Monk or Fox bring up the ball and initiate. And, like, DeMar, I felt like, was doing that more so in the early stages of the season. I think watching DeMar, the problem is the Kings have so many weaknesses. You don't look at DeMar as the one that was solving all their weaknesses, but one of their weaknesses was having another guy that can go get you a bucket. And I think him being out there scoring 20 every single night for the most part, it just makes the Kings so much more difficult to defend offensively. Sabonis is having the most efficient year of his career. I think that in large part is because you add someone like DeMar on the floor too. There's just so many weapons that the Sacramento Kings have. They make it, it's really challenging to guard, but you know, it's like, I don't know how they get better, you know, with trades. It's, you don't think you're moving DeMar. You're not moving Fox. You're not moving Sabonis. You don't want to move Monk. You don't want to move Keegan. Like, there's only so many guys you can move. And so, like, I don't know. I feel like they're in a tough spot.
Well, Deuce, it's like you said, and we kind of said this yesterday, and we all kind of agree, like, you want to get some players in there, right? Like, you want a Cam Johnson or a Finney Smith, but how do you do that without giving up somebody? Because that's the depth is the issue. Like, you want to just add, and if you were able to absorb contract or just give draft picks and keep Herter or Lyles, like, that would be ideal. But how do you make a trade for somebody without giving up one of the players? So that's the conundrum they're kind of in. That may have Devin Carter on the way back. That may help.
I'm just like, where does he fit in too? You know, you're just trying to, all right, so Keon not playing, is Herter, like, they have to clean it up. It's just not balanced. I think we've all talked about that too. Like, I'm sure Devin may be able to help. And in this league, you need athleticism. You need length. And I don't think the Kings have a ton of that on this team, so I think that will help. I don't know. It's so funny. I get in these spots during the season, these dark spots where I go, okay, I feel like I'm desperate. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay. All of a sudden, I'm like, Kyle Kuzma, man. I know he's having a down year.
Well, don't say Kyle makes you – it's desperate when you go to Kyle Kuzma. I think you could help.
I've just seen him play this year. It looks awful. He has, it's like he's having the worst of his career.
Yeah, he's been bad this year. Well, he's been down this year.
But then I'm looking, like you were just talking about, I'm like, ooh, maybe he's cheap.
There you go.
You know, maybe – could you get Kuzma and Valanciunas?
Mm. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, Deuce is – I don't know how you get one of them. Deuce somehow landed both of them.
Kuzma's deal goes down. You know, yeah, I mean, I feel like we all have the Kuzma's contract memorized by now.
Oh, yeah.
But you look at his side, I'm like, okay, could he just buy in here? Like, he did the Washington thing. There's no way he's having fun right now. Did he come to a winning situation, get up and down the floor? There's not a ton of pressure on him to come in and score 20 a game. If you get buy in and be like, hey, Kuz, we just need you to be our defensive, like, whoa, weak side rim protector, get up and down the floor, we'll throw you lobs, get you dunks, man that second unit, we'll get you going with Fox in that second unit.
I'm all for it. You ain't got to convince me. I'm all for it. Let's take a chance.
Well, that's the type of move that I think could be, like, in terms of cost, I don't think it's as expensive as it was last year, mm-hmm. where Cam Johnson mm-hmm. is, like, playing out of his mind right now. He's staying on the floor. You're like, okay, like, the Nets are going to ask for, like, 7 first-round picks, and then it's like, are you really better at that point? You know, it's just, that's the one. And then Dorian Finney-Smith will cost you less, but, you know, I think a lot of people like him.
He's the guy. He's the guy. He fits the profile. He's not going to be as expensive.
Dorian Finney-Smith?
Yeah, he's not going to be as expensive. He can help you in a major way. He can shoot. He can defend. He's a traditional 3-and-D guy. He's the guy.
And he's going to buy in. He's going to buy into his role. Like, the Kings don't need someone that can that's going to score 20 a game. They need someone that's capable of knocking down some shots when open and then playing defense.
We missed you, Deuce. I feel bad that you're sitting in your car and you got a busy day ahead, so we're going to let you go prepare for your multiple jobs that you have to execute tonight.
I appreciate you guys. I miss you guys.
You're the man, dude. I'm going to say what's up to you if I see you out there tonight, man. So it was good.
All right, man. Yeah. Come say hi. You'll probably be courtside, so I'll try to find a way to get
Watch out for the security, like the hidden security.
I said I was going to come say what's up, so that means I'm in the same area.
Can you tell your security guard first so Deuce doesn't get shot trying to do his job?
Don't listen
to this guy. This guy was in the Row 1 Club, like, with Filet Mignon. He had, like... What? It was crazy.
Come on, man. You guys don't listen to the media, man. I'm an everyday man just like you guys.
You had everything. You had seafood. It was like stacked plates.
Well, look, last time we went to our Tribal Chiefs backstage, they had gumbo back there. It was bomb, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That was some good stuff.
We'll be there Sunday.
Yeah, and living the Kenny life is nice, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. Most people can only imagine. I'm lucky. I get to tag along every once in a while. Yeah. But most people don't. They can't imagine.
I'll try to talk to security and get to you, man.
There you go. Appreciate you, Deuce.